Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is going on, everybody? The playoffs are continuing and rolling on in the NBA, and we are back with the FTN NBA Fantasy Podcast. My name is Adam Pfeiffer, joined by no one tonight, just myself breaking down Thursday's four-game slate. The Game 2s continue, got really good action. I don't want to say really good, because the Mavericks kind of handled business. That was impressive. The Sixers were just pathetic, but at least the Brooklyn-Toronto game was surprisingly close. But the four games tonight, the Game 2s between Miami and Indiana, Oklahoma City and Houston, Orlando, Milwaukee, and Portland, and the Lakers close it out with the late game. Make sure you're checking out all the content at FTN Daily, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy. It's just incredible to see what's happening over there on all of the sites. The podcast, the support's been great for all of them. This one, by the way, in case you missed it, landed finally on iTunes a couple days ago. So if you want to go subscribe, rate, review, we'd appreciate that a lot. But yeah, let's get to these games. Starting with Miami and the Pacers. Injury news. Victor Oladipo only played 9 minutes in that game one. He got hit in the eye. He did go went through Wednesday's walkthrough. He's going to be a game time decision for this game. Luckily, it is the early game. This is obviously notable considering the team's already without Domantas Sabonis, who is their leader in touches per game, a guy that was top seven in that category for the season. You look at the Pacers since the restart with Oladipo off the floor. Malcolm Brogdon's played just under 100 minutes with Oladipo off the floor in the bubble. 20% assist rate, 19% rebounding rate, and a 31% usage rate while averaging 1.2 fantasy points per minute. I mean, I'm really, really, really interested in Brogdon regardless because his price is still really affordable at $6,900. He had a really solid game last time out, 10 assists. The ball handling duty will, be his, pretty much solely if Oladipo sits. Then you get the added usage. He'd be kind of a smash play for me. TJ Warren's also had a solid 30% usage rate with no Oladipo, 25% rebounding rate. I talked a lot about how TJ Warren's rebounding production is up because he's playing more power forward since Sabonis is out. So that's not too surprising. The individual matchup isn't great. I mean, Jimmy Butler is going to defend him for a lot of this game, but he still, had a really solid outing at 8K, 45 fantasy points. The price didn't really move. So if you want to go to TJ Warren for the usage and the shot attempts and the production you've been getting from him since the restart, I can't fault you. Again, especially if Oladipo sits. If he does sit, I mean, guys like Aaron Holiday see a boost in minutes. TJ McConnell could get some more run. Justin Holiday, all these guys become interesting. Their price is Holiday's 4K. I mean, he'd probably be the most logical. Although he did only play 16 minutes with Oladipo only playing 9 in that last game. Justin Holiday played 32. So $3,900 for Justin Holiday. Aaron Holiday would be the preferred option if Oladipo's out. Miles Turner, $6,800. I don't love the spot. I really don't. I mean, the Heat are really solid defensively, especially down low with Bam Adebayo. Turner's, affordable at $6,800, but I just find myself, if I'm not playing, I'd rather just play Bam at $7,500. Now, it's not, the most narrow price discrepancies, but, Steven Adams, he was productive in the minutes he got. There is often some concern about, that game going small against the Rockets, but, and Brook Lopez, we'll talk about that game. I expect that game to be a lot better production-wise for Milwaukee. So I think I'd rather just play other guys at center from this slate. Miami, meanwhile, Goran Dragic was smash play last game, 34 minutes in the starting lineup, 42.5 fantasy points. He went for 24, 6, and 5. I think he's going to continue to see this type of run. Now, the price has skyrocketed. And Kendrick Nunn did still play 33 minutes off the bench. I don't think he's really on my radar. Oh, no, he didn't. That was actually... Okay, I'm looking at the wrong game log. Kendrick Nunn was a DNP. So that's really interesting. Because that should... Like, we've seen for a lot of the season, Dragic and Nunn both kind of play, you know, 27, 28 minutes. But especially now that we're in the playoffs, I mean, Kendrick Nunn, a rookie, I mean, seems like Spoelstra would prefer to stick with Dragic. He actually was asked about Kendrick Nunn not playing or playing at all in the series. Spoelstra said, "We will need to get into our depth at some point, and the goal is bigger than the role right now." So that's kind of vague. It sounds like he's going to eventually, you know, start to get some run, but I don't know how you can play him right now after hearing that. Jimmy Butler and Bam, I mean, they're always under 8K. They're always going to give you a really high floor. Bam is one of the best assist guys in the league at the center position. So at 7,500, I really like going back to him. Just like, it's like he's just so, I think he's a little too cheap, to be honest. You know, the Pacers, Miles Turner is a good like help shot blocker, but he's not an elite defender. And you look at the matchup for the ADVP, Indiana 30th against rim protectors, 25th against skilled centers, and 27th against rebounders. So yeah, give me Bam Adebayo again. Dragic, you know, at 5,900, if you tell me Nunn's a DNP again, like I don't think that's too expensive for Dragic. And then Jimmy Butler, 7,900 is absolutely fine as well. Duncan Robinson played just 24 minutes. Tyler Hero was the one that got a significant run in game one. He played 34 minutes. 5,200 is right about where I would probably draw the line on him. I just don't think we're going to get a ton of usage. Iguodala played 25 minutes. Didn't really do much because he's not a huge usage guy. I believe Jay Crowder... last time I checked, I thought he was on the injury report too. Yeah, Jay Crowder is questionable with a sprained left ankle. Played 25 minutes in game one. So, like, if he sits, there is going to be some more minutes to be had for Iguodala, for Derek Jones. So, if Crowder sits, you could talk me into Derek Jones Jr. Derek Jones Jr. is minimum price. So, he could get to, you know, 23, 24 minutes here. Now, there will probably be more time. Like, I think Iguodala will play more minutes because TJ Warren's playing so much power forward for this team. And Iguodala would probably match up better. But at minimum salary, like, if you can get to 22 minutes, he would be, you know, viable. So, yeah, definitely got to pay attention to the injuries in that game and see what happens. Oklahoma City and Houston, the Rockets really dominated this game. I was tilted. I had some really promising lineups, but then it was derailed by the combination of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dennis Schroeder. Russell Westbrook, by the way, in case you missed it, he's going to be out again with the quad injury. So let's start with the Thunder here. The prices have dropped for pretty much everybody not named Chris Paul. Chris Paul's 8K, SGA 6,300 on DraftKings, Dennis Schroeder's 5,500. I really liked him at 6,100 in this game. He shot 3 of 12. The Thunder as a whole just weren't really... They made a little run in the third or fourth quarter, but they didn't show up. I have no problem going back to Dennis Schroeder here. You know, we're going to see a lot of situations where they're going to have both guards on the floor. There's also going to be times where, you know, where Schroeder is on the floor and Chris Paul's not, and he'll dominate the usage. At 5,500, that is a really nice price for Schroeder. I'm looking at the game log from that game one. Paul and Schroeder, you know, they do play on the floor together, or they did at least play on the floor together a good bit in this game. So, like, that's not like a a total killer for Schroeder because Chris Paul is still a good facilitator, and Schroeder's gonna play. Schroeder's more of a two guard anyway. But I talked about it on the last podcast when we were breaking down these games, and Houston is a team that will play up in pace a bit. The good thing about the matchup with the Rockets is, I guess it didn't really pan out in game one, but like I said, nothing really worked for them. But Houston's 29th against primary ball handlers and 28th against the bench trait, which fits Schroeder to a T, obviously. So I have no problem going back to him. And I also have no problem going back to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's going to play huge minutes in this game. He still leads the team in transition points per game. The Rockets give up the most transition points per game in the NBA. I like games in general when SGA can get out in transition, get steals, and stuff like that. So I'm going right back to these two. And if their ownership's lower, that'll be great for obvious reasons. Danilo Gallinari is the other one that did show up for the Thunder. He had 39 or almost 40 fantasy points, 29 real points. $6,600 price tag, it's a little high for him compared to what it usually is, but I don't think it's the worst play. I would just feel better about SGA and Schroeder despite what we saw from them last game. Steven Adams, he played well in the 28 minutes he saw, 17-12. He dominated the rebounds, obviously, and when he's in the game, he's going to have a huge size advantage in the paint against PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Jeff Green, etc. So, it seems like Billy Donovan is kind of fine with using Adams and trying to take advantage of the size rather than play more small ball lineups. That's kind of encouraging for me for Steve Adams. So at 5,600, I do have some interest in him. If you told me that he wasn't going to be pulled and he would see 27 to 32 minutes. Now we know they've limited his minutes a lot in the regular season, but if they're gonna why not try to slow this game down and just have Steven Adams? Now you don't ever run your offense through Steven Adams. You don't give him Joel Embiid type post up usage. But why not try to just let him kind of take advantage of the size advantage that you clearly have and kind of go to work, run some pick and rolls. That's what they did with Russell Westbrook a lot. Maybe do that a lot more with Chris Paul and the Rockets. I mean, they're bottom five in paint points allowed per game in the NBA. They're just a team that you can clearly attack down there. So I have some interest in Adams. Chris Paul at 8K. We're seeing a more aggressive, more kind of, let me carry this team, Chris Paul. And again, he was another guy. 32, 33 minutes were kind of his ceiling during the regular season. I mean, he played 37 minutes in that last game, and they were out of it for most of it. So, closer game, we could see close to 40 minutes again, or maybe even 41 minutes from Chris Paul. So, I do like that. For the Rockets, obviously, James Harden, wasn't bad, but wasn't the 65, 70, 75 point game we might have expected from Harden without Westbrook. Still took 22 shots. Still going to have that 40% usage rate. He's been over 2 fantasy points per minute in the bubble without Westbrook. The price didn't move, so I think James Harden is still the top building block on this slate for obvious reasons. I mean, he's just going to dominate the usage. Eric Gordon, 4,900. He was impressive in that last game in 30 minutes. 21, 3, and 4. We know he sees an uptick in usage. Got the start shooting guard in that last game. Why did his price drop? I'm really confused. He was 5,500 in game one. And after a really solid game, he's 4,900. I think that is a massive misprice. And Eric Gordon is probably, and at the moment, there isn't a ton of value in the slate. At the moment, he's got to look like one of the best value plays on the board. That is really, really head-scratching for me to see Eric Gordon at that price tag. Robert Covington has been pretty bad in the last 3 games, including game one last time out. Had some fouls. I'm still, I as a whole, I just am really interested in Robert Covington at a 6K price tag as a member of the Houston Rockets, because he's getting so many good looks from James Harden and company. He's playing so much four and some occasional five in small ball situations. His rebounding opportunities per game have gone up by around four since being traded to the Rockets. At 6K, again, in a closer game, going to play 35 minutes. I like him. I still like the price. Like, I'd rather play Covington at 6K than Gallinari at 6,600. And I might be not alone in that thinking, but I, you know, a lot of people, especially after the last game, might prefer Gallinari. And, you know, Gallinari's not a bad play by any means, especially because he's playing the four for the Thunder. Houston's 26 against stretch bigs, so it is a pretty good spot again. Maybe that's why Gallinari had a lot of success shooting. But I still like Covington. Yeah, I still just can't believe Eric Gordon's 4,900. It is really weird. Rivers only played 19 minutes. I just, you know, I probably don't get to him. Daniel House is 4,700. Not quite cheap enough for me. Like, why play him unless you're fully stacking this game when you can just play Eric Gordon? So, Orlando and Milwaukee up next. The Magic with a really, really impressive game one outing as they upset the Bucks. No injury news from this game. Actually, I lied. Aaron Gordon, questionable again. I forgot. He is still dealing with that hamstring. Didn't play in game one. If he sits, Gary Clark likely starts again. Clark was really impressive for them as well in that game one. It was just a lot of guys. And, I mean, if at 3,300, you could go back to Gary Clark. I mean, he took 12 shots. He played 28 minutes. You know, on DraftKings, he gives you that three-point potential. And then, of course, guys like, you know, Terrence Rossi really solidified minutes. This team obviously starts with Nikola Vucevic, who was magnificent in game one. 35 points, 14 rebounds, 15 of 24 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. And look, I was wrong. I thought the price was too high. I didn't love the spot, considering that at times you could see him get pulled away from the basket. But he absolutely dominated this game. The price didn't move. The offense is going to continue to run through him. And, you know, I have to remember, this is just a massive pace-up spot for the Orlando Magic, who are bottom three in pace and are facing the fastest-paced team in the NBA in the Milwaukee Bucks. That's great for Vucevic. I think he's perfectly fine if you want to go to him. If Gordon does play, maybe you think it, you know, he takes a hit. Gordon could definitely be limited. I mean, he hasn't played since the 5th of August. It is the playoffs, so it's hard to say, like, yeah, you bring this guy back, he's going to be limited. But, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, could you play him in some tournaments? Aaron Gordon will probably be low-owned, I guess. You know, you like Gordon in a fast-paced game. He's back to playing more of the power forward, which has resulted in a huge spike in his rebounding and, as a result, his fantasy production. But I'd like to see some more reports during the morning on Thursday. Evan Fournier. I was really high on him. But for the entire first three quarters, he was not involved. It was Markel Fultz and DJ Augustine running the offense with Nikola Vucevic. And Evan Fournier would occasionally run off screens. And other than that, he would sit in the corner. Only took eight shots. He turned up a little bit in the fourth quarter to salvage somewhat of a okay outing. The price went up $200. Between that and the bad game, I think people are going to be off him. I still kind of want to go to Evan Fournier, though. I mean, he's going to play 36, 37, 38 minutes. I think he's got to be more aggressive offensively in this game. And it's funny, there's an actual update saying he will be in the starting lineup in this game. I don't understand why he wouldn't have. I don't know. That was from game one. But, you know, I talked about it on the last podcast that he averaged 8 3-point attempts per game against Milwaukee in the regular season. That didn't surprise me because Milwaukee gives up the highest percentage of points from 3 in the NBA. We saw Vucevic, you know, light it up from 3. So Fournier, like, I think what has hurt him a little bit is the addition of Markel Fultz, because not only has Fultz been, you know, better than he's ever been in Philadelphia, but he's a very high usage guy. So when they're playing together, you know, Fultz is running a lot of pick and roll with Vucevic, and he's either shooting or, you know, passing it to Vucevic. But at 5,100, I would be really surprised if Fournier was wasn't more involved offensively in this game than he was last game. Terrence Ross really provided a spark for them off the bench with 18-6 in 28 minutes. 4,800. If you can get the 300 more, you're going to get more minutes from Fournier. It's just a lock, especially if Aaron Gordon plays. So that's just kind of my thought process on those two. The point guards are really interesting, though. Fultz played pretty well, once again. 15 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 27.5 fantasy points. Augustine, though, was a huge, huge piece. I mean, double-doubled in 23 minutes with 11 points, 11 assists. He only played 23 minutes. I think he's going to play more in this game. He looked, it's the veteran player. By the way, there's also a thing where he just really plays well in game ones in playoff series for whatever it's worth. But he just, he calmed this team down. He controlled and ran the offense. These two guys, Fultz and Augustine, they really aren't on the floor together at all. So that's good in terms of like the usage they get when they're on the floor, but it also caps their ceiling in minutes because they're usually coming in and out for each other. But at 4,300, Augustine, I think he's going to play 25 minutes. He shot 3 of 11, so his day could have been even better. But he was 3,500, so it's a little bit of a price bump. But I just think they have to play him more. It's hard because you want Fournier on the floor. You want to get Terrence Ross's minutes. I don't think you want, Middleton, could destroy those guys if he ever sees them defensively. But I just think Augustine has shown them that they need his presence. So I still have a little bit of interest in him, especially with Michael Carter-Williams doubtful for game two. So those guys should both play 23 to 25 minutes, but if one's playing better than the other, then Orlando should roll with whoever that is. For Milwaukee, Giannis, he was just mispriced, in my opinion, game 1, 10-5, and he went off for 31, 17, and 7. Now he's 11-3. I still think you can play him. Obviously, you can play him, but I mean, in regards to comparing him with James Harden, Harden is still the preferred option for me, but if I'm making a multiple lineups, I'm not fading Giannis. I mean, we just know how good he is on a per minute basis. And if Orlando keeps keeping these games close, Giannis is going to play, 38, 39 minutes. So, like him. Brook Lopez was definitely underwhelming. He's up to 5K. He did play 30 minutes. And if Vucevic is going to play huge minutes, they're going to have to combat him with Brook Lopez. So, Lopez, who would be like 27, 28 minutes a lot in the regular season, he should be closer to 32, 33. He's been very efficient. He gives you shot blocking upside. Fournier and Brook Lopez were two of my favorite plays from this slate on Tuesday. They didn't really deliver, but I'm going to go back to them because they both went up in price slightly and they're both coming off bad games. I like that combination of tournaments. Chris Middleton, the price is still kind of stuck there in that low 7K range. Just never my favorite play at that price when Giannis is healthy. Not a bad play, but just never my favorite. And Eric Bledsoe, I don't know. I just don't trust Eric Bledsoe. He's not expensive or anything. He's 5,300, but I don't know. George Hill is going to get... I mean, George Hill played 27 minutes in that last game. He was productive. I think George Hill and Bledsoe are going to... I think they're going to see similar type minutes. They're going to see more minutes than the Fultz-Augustine combo, I'd say. But I think George Hill is going to threaten Bledsoe's minutes a lot more than people realize. So, all right, keep an eye on Aaron Gordon, though. We'll see if he's going to make his return. Final game, Portland at the Los Angeles Lakers. I guess it's quote-unquote at. Portland with an impressive game one victory. Really interesting because we know the Lakers will use a lineup that consists of Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, or Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee. And as a result, Hassan Whiteside, they paired him and Yusuf Nurkic quite a bit in game one. Hassan Whiteside played 26 minutes. It was his most minutes in a game since before Nurkic returned, which is pretty telling to me, given the matchup. It makes a lot of sense. It was kind of like some old school ball with these traditional bigs. you know, playing big minutes. So looking at the game log, they obviously had Wenyen Gabriel in the starting lineup. You know, he predictably didn't have any usage and fouled quite a bit. Did that have a little bit to do with it? Maybe, but why would you, if they're going to have Anthony Davis and Dwight slash JaVale, why would you not pair that with Whiteside and Nurkic? The two played together, let's see. I know they're on the floor together a good bit. Let's see. So Whiteside started the second quarter alongside Nurkic and then came out after about 3 minutes. Then they played together to close. They played together for most of the third quarter and for a bit of the fourth. So Whiteside, while he's not going to have a lot of usage, I mean, he had 5 blocks, 8 rebounds. I don't love the $4,900 price tag, but, you know, if you tell me he plays 26 minutes again, there is potential there. Yusuf Nurkic was dominant in the beginning of this game. He double-doubled in the first quarter and then, you know, didn't have a lot of usage in the remaining quarters. 9K flat. The problem is if they're playing together, it could take away from some. I know we had 10 rebounds in the first quarter, but, you know, it could take away from some of the shot blocking and rebounding upside of Whiteside's coming over. So I think this combo is really interesting, and I'm interested to see what their minutes look like here in game two. Zach Collins is still out, so I know they wanted to start Wenyen Gabriel at the four instead of Melo for defensive purposes. We'll see if he starts again. You know, I'm not going to play him, I don't think. I mean, I guess he wasn't like completely awful. 3,300, like, pray that he doesn't get into foul trouble again. But it's hard to see how he won't against Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Damian Lillard, not the greatest start, but then in the fourth quarter he did what he does and finishes with 34 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 11K, the price has come down a bit. The way Damian Lillard looks right now and how locked in he is, he's in play against everybody, I don't care. And the Lakers, like, they're perimeter guards. I know Alex Caruso is a solid defender. He's done a good job for them for a lot of the year, but he's not going to be able to guard Damian Lillard. CJ McCollum, he's just struggling to find a shot consistently. He had the nice game against Memphis in the play-in game, but other than that, he's been really struggling. I know he has the back issue. 7,700, the price has come to, like, I feel like he's going to have a game where Dame's shot isn't falling or they double him or something, and McCollum has, you know, a 40-point real game, because we see that. He has one every now and then. If you're on him when it happens, you're probably going to win some money, because I don't think people want to play him right now. As for the rest of this team, Melo, he's playing big minutes, huge minutes, actually. 10 rebounds in that last game against the Lakers, 5,900. Fine, not my favorite play. And Gary Trent Jr., he was awful. Should still play around 32 minutes, but I think I can find better plays around that price tag. For the Lakers, LeBron's under 11K still. I have interest. You know, the matchup's great. Portland's one of the worst defensive teams in the league. LeBron had 17 rebounds and 16 assists. And consider this. LeBron had 16 assists in a game the Lakers shot 5 of 32 from beyond the arc. That's absurd. You know, he's led the league in assists per game this year. And the difference between LeBron, you know, people always say LeBron's always been a point forward. While that's true, he hasn't played the actual point guard for a team until this year. And that's resulted in him being top three in touches per game, where prior to that, he was never in the top five. He was always an incredible fantasy producer, obviously, but that's just given LeBron such a higher floor and ceiling combo. So I love him. You can pair him with Davis, who's 10-5. His shot was, and again, Anthony Davis, 8 of 24, and yet LeBron had all his assists. I like Anthony Davis. I like pairing him. They need to run more pick and roll. There was a lot of Anthony Davis kind of spotting up at the top of the three-point line and dribbling. I know he's an athletic, talented player, but, you know, get him rolling and screening more. I don't know what to do with the rest of the Lakers, though. I don't trust Kyle Kuzma. He played 30 minutes. I don't love paying $6,500 for him. I don't trust him. Simple as that. And then, can somebody show up? Can Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or Danny Green show up? They just can't hit anything right now. The minutes are going to be there for I would lean Caldwell Pope if I'm playing one, but you know you're not getting usage from them, so they have to be hitting their threes, and they have to walk into some rebounds. Can it happen? Yeah, the Lakers are not going to shoot 5 of 32 from 3 again, but it's tough to feel great about. Any of the Lakers outside of the main two, you can sprinkle in some Kuzma. Caruso, he played 29 minutes. It looked like he was, for me, every time I was watching the game, it looked like he wasn't off the floor. 3,800. You can go to him here. I mean, Rondo is questionable for what it's worth. He was medically cleared before game one. I would be somewhat surprised if he played. If he does play, I don't know if we'll see him get, you know, 25 minutes. But if he does, I mean, he's minimum salary. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye on the Rondo situation as the day goes on. But, yeah, that's it for us here. Just four games. Joe Metz will be handling the game-by-game breakdown on FTNDaily.com. Eddie Fear's got his live show. I believe it's at 11:30. Not even sure who he's going to have on. I know he's had Stefano on. He's had Javi on. He's had Kyle on. He's had Kweisenberg on. So no matter who's on, you're going to get great, great, great analysis. And hop in the Discord to get some questions answered. And yeah, best of luck on this slate. Hopefully we get some more really, really fun NBA action. I've been enjoying having so much basketball to watch every single day. And I hope you guys do too. We'll be back on Friday to close out the week with more basketball. Thanks for listening as always. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.